This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/storybrooke.
It seems like maybe you're in a bad place, like maybe you're giving up a little.
Giving up? That's the last thing I'm doing.
Is this blackout a sort of plan to help fix things?
My plans are my plans. And no, cutting off your precious air conditioning doesn't help me.
So can you help me?
Fix it? Sorry. I'm out of the leadership business.
From Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is exactly the podcast you should fight, but you're only listening because you know if we sleep, we'll die, and I can't read. We also talk about ABC's hit series Once Upon a Time. How are you doing, Anne-Marie?
I'm wonderful now. How are you?
Good, good. Let me get this big graphic off the
giant
screen here.
Giant graphic. Trying something here, people. Something.
Yeah, we're doing this this episode, as we always do, live on YouTube. So, you know, always feel free to keep an eye on our social media accounts to find out when we're going live. But we're here to talk the second episode
of
the fourth season of Once Upon a Time. And another new thing we're doing this year is we're having a guest on every episode for the main show. And this week our guest is Meredith Placco. She's one of the co-hosts on the Marvel News Show from the Schmoes No Network, and she's also a professional cosplayer. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm good. I'm good. It's thank you so much for having me on. I love Once Upon a Time. I'm really happy that you got this podcast off the ground, and I'm really happy to be here to talk my favorite Disney show feelings.
Oh, yeah, and there's also something I wanted to mention right up here up top. If it wasn't for Meredith, there probably wouldn't be a Greetings from Storybook.
Storybook.
My tongue has completely failed tonight. It's wonderful.
It's okay. It'll be good.
No, but me and Anne-Marie had talked about maybe doing a podcast
podcast at some point.
And then right before Once a Second Season was getting started, I got on Twitter and I was like, man, I really love Once Upon a Time. I just want to evangelize it because no one's watching and I want someone to talk to. Maybe I should start a podcast about it. And Meredith responded back, you should.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks later, we were trying to figure out another podcast. I was like, you know, Meredith thought I could do a Once Upon a Time podcast. Maybe I can. Maybe I just can. So.
And that's when I marathoned season one to catch up.
But thank you, Meredith, for bringing unleashing Greetings Storybrooke on the world.
Love it.
Okay, great.
It's my curse unto the world.
Curse unto the world. Excellent. Okay, Meredith's connection is catching up here. We'll go ahead and get started with the rhyming summary. Want to take it away, Anne-Marie?
All right. Frozen references litter the script, as flowing as Charming's new hair. When Anna visits and Bo Peep comes calling, she struggles to make him care. Charming hooks up with Emma's new beau to save her from a cold winter grave. Henry's plot shows progression as we wait patiently on the knave. We thought that Elsa would be the Ice Queen, but now that's been cast into doubt. Did we mishear? Did they say ice cream? Let's talk about this week's whiteout.
White ice cream, too, in that tub.
It was vanilla. Little vanilla.
Okay, let's see here. Before we get into the main points, and I guess I'll start with you, Anne-Marie,
sure.
Since you're sitting right here.
Yeah. Yes.
What did you think, Minion?
Meh.
Meh?
Meh.
Why meh?
I felt like we lived in that ice castle a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of, you know, I have issues when there's bad CGI or effects of any sort.
Uh-huh.
And if we can't get rid of those little snowflake things around her head, I'm going to, like, hurl something at the TV.
Not liking the particle effects?
No.
Or
no.
They're overusing them?
No.
Okay, Meredith, what did you think overall?
You know, I felt this one was seriously lacking in both production value and story. Am I still here, guys?
Yes.
Yeah, you're still here.
Okay, good. Awesome. Yeah, I had to drop off video because it seemed to be hogging too many resources. Yeah, I really am just not feeling Elsa overall. She's one of my favorite newer Disney characters to come about in the last 10 years. And I feel that it's a little too much. I don't care for the snowflakes above her. Like, is she also Olaf? You know, and there's just too much with the over CG. And I just kind of wish, I don't know. I'm just kind of disappointed. I'm sad.
Oh yeah, I can definitely empathize with that. And I was kind of meh on the episode too. Although with my second and ended up being third rewatch today, I ended up liking it a bit more. And one thing I think was, and I don't know, Meredith probably doesn't know this. I'm sure she doesn't listen to the show on a regular basis or anything. But I kind of half watched Frozen when the season finale happened last season, and then I decided not to go back and watch it again to kind of have a fresh perspective on these characters and stuff. And my big insight for the entire episode was really more about the dynamic between Anna and Elsa. And this might be
Anna and Elsa? Emma and Elsa?
That too. Actually more Anna and Elsa, really.
Okay.
Because the interaction between Emma and Elsa got me thinking about Anna and Elsa.
Uh-huh.
This might be well-worn ground for people who are big fans of the movie, but I found kind of two diametrically opposed parallels between Anna and Elsa that kind of reminded me of the John Steinbeck novel play Of Mice and Men. I put down here Of Ice and Women. Basically, when they were in the ice castle and Elsa was talking to Emma about you know how Anna's the only one who can calm her down and keep her from unleashing her powers.
Yeah, that was beating a dead horse with that one, by the way.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I said, I'm sure that's probably part of the reason why this might be well-worn territory for people who've seen.
Well, no, it was just like, how many times do we have to tell us that Anna helps you control your powers?
Yeah,
like she said it like six times.
Well,
I can't control it. Tough. Figure it out. You're an adult.
Well, Elsa's talking about that. It kind of reminded me of Lenny from Of Mice and Men, where like he didn't want to hurt the rabbit, but he wanted to love the rabbit, and he hurt the rabbit. Like she didn't want to keep that wall up there after a time, but she thought she needed Anna to help her tear it down or melt it down or whatever. So Anna's kind of like the George in that part of their relationship, where she has to calm Elsa, Lenny, down. Where the inverse is, Elsa is like George because she's kind of world wise and world weary, and she gets frustrated with how naive, like Lenny, Anna is.
Right.
So I just thought it was interesting that that the two characters both have aspects of those two famous literary characters within them. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that. That was just something that kind of stuck out at me.
I know you had to get all philosophical on us here. And here over in the chat, Hope said that it feels like the pace was better this week and that it felt more like Once as opposed to last week, where it was a little more like Frozen, which Amy agrees with, which I can completely see. But, I mean, it did feel like a lot like Once, but maybe it was just like some of those really Frozen elements were actually what bothered me, which makes me really, really sad and cry icicles. So I'm just sharing.
Fair enough. Fair
Multitasking. Enough.
Okay, let's see here. Meredith, did you have anything you wanted to add to that, or should we go ahead and move on to Anne-Marie's point here?
No, I mean, I actually do. I feel they're trying to force an issue that, for those of us that have seen the movie, have already kind of established. And by the end of the film, Elsa's kind of grown and moved on. And the idea that she's regressing in this way is just kind of upsetting in terms of character development. Because it's like, why would she go backwards when she should have found the strength at this point to kind of move forward? And I guess she did get that boost from Emma. But at the same time, it just felt a little insincere to the character.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I can definitely see that. And even, you know, me with my ignorance of the movie, I even wrote that down. Wasn't this what she solved in herself in the movie? Like, I think that's what they put on the back of the DVD, right?
She did.
Elsa learns to control her powers at the end.
Yes, but in the movie, she did also have Anna around when she was controlling them. Mm-hmm. Like, she's sort of her stable place.
Yeah.
So, and now that she's gone, you know, it's a little harder for her to control. And also, let's keep in mind, she's coming from like this land of, you know, candles and the such, to cars coming at her. So she's scared.
Did we ever get a really clear idea of if time passed for her at a normal rate within that bottle, or how long she was in that bottle even?
We don't
like,
know.
Yeah.
So no. We haven't gotten there yet.
To be revealed.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there.
Okay, Emery, you had a, you wanted to talk a little Mary Margaret.
Good old Mary Margaret. Okay, Mary Margaret, I love you. I love you, but you're going to need to calm the down. I know you're tired. I've been there 3 times. Calm down and put on the real mom uniform of yoga pants, a hoodie, and your hair in some sort of a rag or hat. Stop wearing the granny clothes. Even granny doesn't dress like that. It's really driving me nuts with that button up and the sweaters. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that Jennifer Goodwin just is really uncomfortable in herself still.
Yeah.
But she can look a little better than that. Also, they make Prego clothes that are cute. I don't know why Storybrooke hasn't gotten those.
But would Mary Margaret wear the ones that were cute, or would she wear the ones that a school teacher would wear?
I know many a school teacher that do not look like that. many of them. They would enjoy the yoga pants and the hoodie. Mm. But I loved her flip out on all of the townspeople. She's like, "You people, it is all you. You are what made everything evil. Go get a flashlight." Love that. Mm. Go get a flashlight.
That was kind of like the catchphrase of the episode. That's why I saw that everywhere.
That, and then my new favorite thing, which I'll come back to other stuff. Baby high five. I'm stealing that. Everything from now on is a baby high five. The cut scene, which we'll talk about in a little bit, mm-hmm. she actually says, "You forgot I was a bandit." She's not acting like that strong bandit anymore. She's mm-hmm. acting very weak, I feel.
Well, like, I kind of got the impression that, and this might be going a little more medical than we need to, but she might be suffering from a little bit, like, postpartum kind of thing.
Yeah, she probably
And
is.
I mean, it was a very stressful birth, too, you know, with the Wicked Witch outside the door stealing
it really
the baby.
Was, yes. That's true. It's very true, but I'm just saying. She's not, like, I feel like all of her strength is gone. Mm. All of it. So, makes me kind of sad.
Meredith, how did you find Mary Margaret this episode?
You know, she's one of my more favorite characters in the show, and I'm liking to agree. She's been very meek. She's been very out of her element. You know, I'm used to the strong bandit queen who takes charge and doesn't. No, she doesn't take garbage from anyone, but she also isn't mean about it. She's an icon. People flock to her. You know, and the way everyone acted, from Grumpy and Granny to even her, seemed vastly out of character for all of them, because they spent all of the last couple seasons, "Let's rebuild your kingdom. Let's get you back up. Now we're going to be angry because we don't have power." And I mean, her flip out was good.
Yes.
It was also just kind of like, it's not the character I've grown to love. And I'd rather see her take control, or if they're going to do, like, I feel like they're going to go back to that whole Black Heart storyline or do something where they might put her in a more of a Regina role. I don't want to see her coming at that as a shrew. I'd rather see it, like, it's I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but the interactions between Prince Charming and Elsa in the modern world, we're a little like, I'm like, are we gonna try to break up this marriage? Is there's just something a little bit there that I was like, this, they could, if they wanted to make this like revenge, they could just bring in that element and kind of marginalize Mary Margaret, where she starts to feel, you know, who is this woman, what's going on here? Because I also don't really feel everything's happy in the Snow White Charming household.
Oh, actually, I kind of got that same feeling from the Anna scenes.
Yes.
Like the flashback, like Charming's just flirting with everyone.
Yes, Charming. Yeah. Yeah.
But actually kind of interesting considering the real life story of how Jennifer and Josh Dallas got together. But we'll save that for the gossip rags, I guess. I definitely agree about the mom angle being cool, but I don't want to see it played out too long, and I think they're gonna give Snow something else to focus on, maybe let Henry babysit a little bit,
something,
but we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
While you're getting yourself situated, Patty actually points out that it's only been a few days since she's had the baby. All the more reason mm-hmm. to be in yoga pants, sister. Get out of the granny gear, put on the yoga pants.
Okay, now next up, since Meredith is a cosplayer, she makes costumes, she wears costumes, she talks to people about their costumes. She likes costumes. She said she had some critiques and some comments on the Elsa costume, and probably some more positive stuff on a couple of the other characters too. But I'm going to just throw it to you, Meredith. Go ahead.
It's all you, sister.
Floor's you.
Okay. I don't want to sit here and just say that the Elsa costume is the worst thing ever. It's not. I'm you know, looking at a really nice full res image of it right now, and there's a lot of detail that they have put in the train that hangs off the back. There's actually snowflake detail burned into it, either like with a white, you know, overlay paint, or maybe doing like a burnout technique that you don't see in the show. And that's a really nice little detail. But overall, I feel it's such a literal interpretation of her outfit, where other costumes of the characters have been more grounded, more set. Like, even though the Enchanted Forest is this magical realm, everything still feels real in a sense that, you know, could be from 400 years in our past, or even 200 years, you know, even seeing Belle and Mr. Gold last week go into the ultimate, the yellow dress, and him in the blue velvet overcoat. You know, it was such a beautiful interpretation of those iconic costumes of Beauty and the Beast. So I feel like Elsa's is just too, like, did you take that off an Elsa, like, park person, like at Disney? I feel like she like mugged some poor actress at the park to steal this costume.
Some 19-year-old actress.
And then you look at Anna's costume, which is so beautiful and with subtle tones, and they use, like, honestly, Anna's costume is, I think, one of the best made costumes in the show. Because, I mean, as much as I like some of them, some of the earlier production quality on this costume sort of is not great. But, like, everything is very true to her character. It's the same designs, but they've just kind of desaturated the color palette a little bit to make it a little less in your face, and it just looks like they used fabrics that would have been found in Arendelle, like wools and linens, and really, really nice, like, stitching detail, down to the fact that, like, on the black bodice that she was wearing yesterday, or in last night's episode, it had, like, really nice corset lacing in the back. They just put a lot of care into it, and I feel Elsa's is just too... It's just too much. It's just too much for this TV show. It takes me out of the realm. And also, like, on another side, Hook, change of clothes, honey. I love you. I love you as Pirate Hook, but what, like, just go to the local, like, dry goods store and pick yourself up just something a little bit more modern.
A pair of jeans would be nice.
Yes.
Good news for you, Meredith. We do have a story coming up in a little bit with a sneak peek at Hook's new look.
It's not much better.
It's
not.
It's a little Old West.
I disagree.
I wonder if they because I know for the season finale last year, like, the whole Frozen thing was kind of like a last minute getting approval, blah, mm-hmm. blah. The cast members didn't know, whatever. Like, I wonder if they just kind of threw together something as close to the movie as possible, and then they were kind of stuck with it for the season.
Yeah,
because I mean, they didn't even have the actors cast when they shot the finale. So I wonder if maybe they kind of hemmed themselves in, so to speak. Pun definitely intended.
Completely intended. Yeah.
Go ahead, Meredith.
Oh, I was going to say, but even from the teaser from last season, it's still a different look. She's got a wide silver band off the shoulder, mm-hmm. and the gathering of her train is a lot more. So if I actually kind of liked where they were going with what they had last season versus this one, because it did look, even though it was a CGI interpretation, it looked really good and different enough. So I kind of wish they had gone more that route.
Okay, well, let's see here. Wait a second. There's something weird here. Okay, wait a second. We're going to have to take a break from the discussion, guys, for just a minute. Something just popped up here. Some guy
breaking
named Jerry?
Jared?
I don't know. He just left a message here. We'll play it, and then we'll see what's going on, okay?
Listen, I think it's important that before we freak out, we just acknowledge what's happening here. This is Jared Joseph. Yes, it's me. The man who played Gus. The town mechanic. Greetings from Storybrooke. Greetings from Vancouver, Canada. I just wanted to shout you guys' podcast out because you've shown Gus so much love. And I think before we move forward, let's just pour one out for them. Let's pour one out for the little mouse. What do you say, guys?
I say yes, Jared Joseph.
Yes.
Anyone who's listening right now,
pour one out
at Jared
for
Joseph. Thank you for calling in to greetings from Storybrooke. We finally got him.
We finally got Gus.
And we need to pour one out here. We have the little cup for Gus that we're going to pour one out for him. And then we have our two princess cups that we're going to pour one out for each of ourselves.
Greetings from Storybrooke drinking cups.
Sorry we can't pass one to you over the internet, Meredith.
Aww.
Fortunately.
I'll have some in spirit.
Okay, but here. And then we have... now, Jared, he did...
He suggested a specific drink for
Gus. I'll show you guys the tweet here real quick. Okay. Yeah, and I'm sorry, audio listeners, you're...
Just get on YouTube.
You should go watch the video.
You should go watch the video.
But yeah, he said he wanted us to get, I believe it was a scotch, Laphroaig. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
It felt fancy.
In fact, I'm sure I'm not.
Right.
But we couldn't find any. So what we did was we took... Liquor X here.
Liquor X.
Magic Juice X.
Magic Juice.
And we gave it a label.
We gave it its special down.
With exactly what he asked for, including the 10-year there. And it was in the freezer, which is why the watermarks are there.
Hey,
and
Gus,
we also
Gus.
Put, not quite Gus Gus. It's
well,
as close to Gus Gus as we could
without copyright infringement.
Yeah, without copyright infringement. It's just like the basic circles that make up Gus Gus.
Yes.
So here, let's see. I'll pour one out for Anne Marie.
Pouring it out.
There you go.
Woo!
I'll pour one out for myself. And we'll pour one out to sit here the rest of the episode for Gus Gus. Here you go, Jared. Thank you.
Thank you, Jared.
Okay.
So, cheers. Salute to Gus
pour
Gus.
Pour one out for Gus Gus. Rip Gus Ooh. Gus.
Wow. Oh,
that's brisk.
I haven't done that in a while.
It's brisk magic juice
magic
right there.
Magic juice.
Oh, we should probably go ahead and finish playing the message from him, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Think about that. I just want to wish you guys well. And I hope that this thing pops off for you guys. And take care. Thanks for reaching out to me, wanting to hear from me. And it's a pleasure to be a part of it. Thanks for the love, guys.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you, Jared. You're awesome.
That was amazing. That made my week.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been bouncing up and down like a little schoolboy.
Literally bouncing.
And one more thing that we wanted to mention before we get back into the discussion here. We mentioned last week that our great new logo by Sebastian, at Sebgons on Twitter, we mentioned that we were going to do T-shirts, and we have them.
We have them.
They are officially available.
It's a big week. It's a big week, folks. I'm really excited.
But, I'm going to hit my microphone.
A couple times.
Yeah, but from teespring.com, these great Greetings from Storybrooke T-shirts, they come in two colors for men or women. And just to be clear, we're not making any money off of these.
Nope, not
Sebastian is going to take any profits from these as a way to pay him back for making the logo for us. But we have them men's and women's. They're $18 a piece. And we need to sell 30 in the next 3 weeks if we're going to get the run made. Mm-hmm. Right now we have 5. So I think we could probably do 25 between everybody out there in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Greetings from Storybrooke T-shirts. And you can get those by going to Teespring. That's TEESpring.com/Storybrooke. And you can get them there. And we'll also have that link in the show notes at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. Okay, I guess we should get back
okay,
into
back
the,
to the discussion.
The main discussion.
Where
thank
were
you,
we?
Thank you for bearing with us.
Yes, thank you. We just got really excited.
Yeah.
No, that's Gus. So cute. Oh, Gus Gus.
Gus. Rip Gus Gus.
Rip Gus Gus.
Okay, I really love the Hook and Charming Buddy movie we had in this week's episode. That was pretty amazing. I always really like their dynamic. They had a lot of a lot to do together in Neverland last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun. And I also thought that Hook, taking his hook to try and pick through the ice,
Emma!
Was probably one of the slapstickiest, funniest moments they had in this episode.
Oh, see, and I thought it was absolutely adorable and sweet.
Oh, like he was so desperate to
yes!
get in there.
He was so desperate to get her. He was so worked up. And all he had was his hook.
Hook against the ice. What was it? I was going to put something in the rhyme somewhere about like a... hook-shaped scratches in the ice or something like that. Let's see here. And also something I wanted to point out that I saw pointed out concerning Hook, Emma, that whole scene, is another Frozen parallel we have here, where it's another shot match, basically, between Frozen and Once Upon a Time with what's-his-name carrying...
Kristoff.
What's-her-face.
And Anna.
And Hook
no,
carrying...
No, what's-his-name.
Hook carrying Emma, but I figured I'd show that to you guys, too.
Love
and,
it.
And let's see here. I also kind of wonder, what do you guys think Hook does when Emma's not around? Because it seems like he just, like, waits around for her to call and not go out with him.
Yeah, how is she calling him?
Does he know how to use a phone?
He knew a heater, so that was impressive.
Meredith, controversy in Storybrooke, your thoughts?
I think Hook, what is he doing? Is he hanging out at the docks? He's probably just sitting there chasing rats because what else is Hook going to do? And I'm assuming he's got a little cell phone, but it's not going to be anything like advanced, like an Android or a black or like a BlackBerry. We're talking like old school 2002 Razor. That's what he does. But it gets caught on his hook sometimes because he'll forget that he can't answer it with his dominant hand. And that's just my headcanon for what happens.
I love it.
And then he breaks through the screen when he's like trying
yeah,
to
text her. Scratch.
He's trying to text her and he can't because it's a hook.
I love it. So far we've determined that Hook needs a new outfit and a screen protector. So
he needs an OtterBox.
Or Google Glass.
Google Glass, yes.
What was that line he had in the episode when he was talking to Charming, old-fashioned?
Oh, he's like Charming said, I need to talk to you about your intentions with my daughter. And he's like, that's pretty old school, even for me, mate, and I still pay in doubloons.
Okay, so Anne-Marie,
that's me.
Keep it moving. Okay, so you had a theory about Anna.
I have a theory about Anna. I think that Anna is inside the snowflake necklace. Just me? Anyone? Bueller?
Still?
I do.
I agree.
I completely think she's in there because it wasn't showing any picture, too. Like, it was just the heartbeat indicating that she's alive because we all suddenly knew that if we hear a heartbeat, it means someone's alive. like, Elsa, you're scared by everything, but you know a heartbeat means she's alive.
I believe everybody, you know, in kindergarten and in fairy tale land, they're told how Bo Peep's staff works. So.
Oh, well, if they got a Cliff Notes version. But, no, I think it... I don't know. It just kind of makes sense.
Is the necklace still in the ice tower or the ice?
Yes. It's wall? In the really bad CGI yeah. ice thing. It's there. Yeah, but I think she's in the necklace, which made it why it was so important to Gold. Because you could see his face when he realized how he didn't know it was missing is kind of crazy. He was just like, somebody took that.
Yeah, there was definitely a look of like, oh no, on his face for sure.
Bad word. So, yes, I think she's in the snowflake. It feels really obvious, but it feels right.
See, like, I was actually, like, one small sick part of my mind was, like, I kind of want her to be alive over in the Enchanted Forest, and she's, like, super old. So, like versus my theory before the season started where this will eventually match back up to where it'll fit within the timeline of whatever sequel they do to Frozen, to where it would completely break it and, like, make it to where it couldn't possibly tie back into it. Because Elsa finds Anna, and Anna's old, and, you know, she has to put her up in a nursing home in Storybrooke.
They'll just put her in the basement with everybody. Okay, I'm going to while you're moving on to the next thing, here's some comments from the chat. Hook's just watching Emma from afar with his spyglass from Bobby Hawk. Patty, Hook with Google glasses, rolling on the floor laughing. Holly McMiller, the warranty on Hook's phone won't last too long. And Hope, I don't really think that Emma's into Hook. Can't you make my pirate my son's stepdad? What? Prince of Thieves.
Oh, I actually saw someone, and since we already talked about your point, Meredith, we'll go ahead and talk about this real quick.
We're just going to keep jumping around today.
No, someone was saying, like, is there, like, a moral issue with Emma dating Hook, who was the boyfriend of her son's grandmother?
His last girlfriend was her son's great-grandmother?
Yeah, something... Grandmother.
There is something completely wrong with that.
Yeah, it seems a little weird. Back in the day, I mean, I dated a few of my grandmother's friends. But, oh, I mean, that it's a different time. It's a different situation.
It's a different timeline.
No, but that is a little weird, though. But
it is completely weird.
And, you know, they were talking about it like it was kind of a deal breaker for watching the show for them.
Seriously?
The way I kind of look at it, though, it's a little justified because Fairy Tale Land, the Enchanted Forest, Misthaven, what have you.
Whatever you want to call it.
It's kind of based on old Europe and everything. And, you know, they were small, tiny, isolated villages. So likely you were going to be dating your grandma's best friend's cousin's uncle or whatever, you know. And it wasn't considered that big of a deal back then where, you know, in our modern world it is. So maybe Emma should be having some more issues with this than maybe Hook would be. That's all I'm saying.
Hope, you mean Elsa again.
Oh, did she say Emma?
She's messing up with the Emma and the Elsas.
See, that's the problem with the primary and newly guest star secondary, like, protagonist having the same letters. And Yeah. It's weird. Okay, David. Charming.
That hair.
Charming's hair. Yay or nay?
Nay.
Question for
swoosh.
Yes, swoosh.
Swoosh. I
detangler, maybe?
I loved it because I hated it so much.
Yeah.
Because it was so awful. I loved it because it was so awful. And like I genuinely loved it. I didn't ironically love it because it was so awful. Oh. I genuinely loved it because it was so awful.
Oh, you're just wrong.
It was good. Fabio Charming.
Yeah, it was really Fabio Charming. And you know, that's how he was acting with Anna. So I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, there was definitely no.
There was definitely that. And he knows that she was engaged.
Mm.
He commented on her engagement ring.
He knows her fiance.
He does somehow. That's
doesn't we'll just matter go. To some people.
It apparently doesn't matter, but I think they were really just trying to make him younger. I don't know why that indicates youngness.
Yeah, I know. And
the
it's
long
like,
male hair does
I,
not.
I want to see the episode where he makes the decision to get a short haircut. That's what I want to see, for sure. But we did get a little of his backstory in terms of we found out a little bit about his dad.
That was so sad.
You know, like
yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, on this very special episode of Once Upon a Time, we have the Enchanted Forest against Drunk Carding.
Mm-hmm. Is it just me, or does, like, everyone on Once Upon a Time have an alcoholic father? Like,
I mean,
because Rumble did.
Well, Emma doesn't.
I guess. Yes.
To the best of our knowledge, but it runs in the family.
Yeah, that's where they're taking his character. Charming's becoming an alcoholic just like his dad.
Aww.
The cycle continues.
That's just
this
sad.
Got really dark.
This got really dark. Let's move on.
No, we can't move
the
on.
The chat's blowing up. They're all like, Fabio Charming, team E-name. Charming could be in an 80s rock band with that hair.
But do you guys think that the whole dad backstory is going to come back this season at all? Or do you think it was just kind of like a one-off?
That's not a one-off. You don't set up that detailed. Mm-hmm. He was going to be gone for a 12-day journey. And on day 14, I found out he died in a ditch because he was drunk. Like, I don't feel like that's going away.
No.
Mm-mm.
Meredith, do you think Peter Pan pushed him into the ditch?
Oh my, that would be amazing. That'd be a great way to tie it all back together. But no, I think they just wanted to get really sentimental and real for a moment in the Enchanted Forest. And that was like, that pulled me out of the store. I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, Charming.
Mm-hmm.
It was awkward. Too real. It was too real.
And then he was so, and I mean, it makes sense from where they were going with him as an emotional character, but he was so defensive about letting anyone have the horse, like when Bo Peep first shows up. Mm-hmm. And then he just gives it to Anna at the end.
Like, Anna.
Anna.
The name is Anna.
Anna.
Step
Anna,
it.
Anna.
And yes, Hope, it's too early. No team Chanana. You were no shipping of David and Anna.
Not yet. Not until the mid-season finale.
Exactly.
And I just wanted to say, I thought it was interesting that we saw both the origin of Warrior Charming and Zen Charming, which we talk about Zen Charming and his Zen cones that he gives to Emma throughout
Zen
the series.
Charming.
I just thought it was interesting that he got his first little cone from Anna.
From
Anna. Anna.
Anna.
Okay, you had something.
How did Charming and Kristoff know each other?
I don't know.
Why does Charming think he'll be invited to the wedding when he obviously wasn't invited to the wedding?
Hopeful? Thinks that he has a better friendship with Kristoff?
Apparently. But obviously Kristoff thinks he has a good friendship with him because he sent his fiance to sleep in the barn.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they don't really have couches, but hey, can maybe, I come sleep by your fire?
Maybe Charming could sleep in the barn. Be a good guest. No, I just mean by himself.
Okay.
No, not together.
No cha-na-na. No cha-na-na.
Cha-na-na-na-na-na. Okay, Meredith, you have some issues with one of the main cast members.
And I'm on your team.
Who could it be?
Oh, okay, because I don't understand how anyone can like Henry and his matching, him and Charming have the best matching lipstick. That's about the only thing. If you've ever noticed, the makeup artist tints their lips that right shade of pink. It's a little, so I get the actor for Henry is growing and he's hitting that awkward puberty stage, and that's wonderful. I mean, you can't just keep recasting the kid as a young kid every season. He needs to grow with the rest of the cast. It also kind of highlights that nobody else really ages. But he is I liked him best when he was Peter Pan, and I wish he could just go back to being Peter Pan. I felt like him as an actor was really good as Peter Pan, but him as Henry is kind of surly, and he went from the precocious kid to the surly kid to the I don't even know why I'm on the show anymore kid. And I've long kind of felt that children in a lot of TV shows are written as plot devices and then easily forget them. Like, I don't think we're going to see anything about Charming and Mary Margaret's baby anytime soon, because that's what you do with babies. But I feel Henry may have outlived his usefulness, and if his only purpose is to keep Regina from going evil yet again, give the kid either a better storyline or just get him out entirely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I think even Jared Gilmore, the actor who plays Henry, he said his favorite time on the show was when he was playing like the
He said that was
Pan
his favorite. Ring, he literally had one episode like that, and mm-hmm. that was his favorite time on the show. It's in season four.
Yeah. He had a growth spurt over the summer. That's for
a
sure.
Major like major one.
He has about a half Adam's apple going on there. Like, where
yeah.
he didn't
I think it's time for him to go off to college.
Possibly.
That's what you do with the child actor. You send him off to college. But where is he going to go? Boston?
Once upon a time, the college years. as long as Screech is the teacher, I'm okay with it.
Well, of course. From the chat, Amy says, I thought it was interesting that Charming's dad was gone for 2 weeks and then Anna's parents were gone for 2 weeks.
Ooh.
So there's that. And Patty points out that he could have been ambushed by thieves. So this is very true. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure they said they smelled the alcohol on him or something. So they knew he was drunk.
Thieves are known to pour alcohol over strangers when they rob them.
They pour one out on
to absolve themselves from blame. Okay, let's see here. And I just something, a point of order I wanted to point out.
Point of order? What?
Yeah, yeah. In the Storybrooke Charter, I guess, according to a drop scene that we had, that I don't know if Meredith got a chance to look at, but it's official. If you cast the curse that creates Storybrooke, you're the mayor. That's the new rule.
It's so true.
Yes.
It's amazing. Grumpy points it out, like, you know, he's like, you're in charge now because you cast the curse, blah, blah, blah. And then in this cut scene that we'll link to in our show notes at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com, Mary Margaret goes over to Regina's house and they have a little powwow. And Regina's like, no, you cast the curse. You're the mayor now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go off on my little adventure.
No, she's like, I'm going to go pout in a corner and get over everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or not get over anything, really.
Yeah, yeah. No, not at all.
Just stew on it.
Mm-hmm. Just keep stewing.
Definitely recommend people check out that deleted scene if they haven't. They showed it, I think, on Good Morning America today.
I have no idea. I was at work.
Meredith, you were going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say maybe that's actually Rumpelstiltskin's entire motivation for the last couple seasons is he actually just wants to cast the curse so he could secretly be mayor of Storybrooke. That's all he wants. He just wants to be elected mayor.
Oh, he's just trying to maneuver himself.
He's trying to get his way in there.
Yeah, very House of Cards style.
Intrigue in Storybrooke.
Yeah, I would have traded half of the scene in the ice thing for that deleted scene.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Half of the time in the ice thing and a third of the Frozen references.
Yeah, actually, I think they probably could have cut 20 minutes from the episode if they had just cut out the direct references to songs from Frozen in the dialogue. But that's expected, though. You expect that to happen. Okay, let's see here. I'll throw this to Meredith. We got kind of a tease for a new villain at the end, and then Anne-Marie will finish up with some quick thoughts.
Yeah, so we get a new ice cream queen. So at the end, we see the woman like, oh, no, I didn't have any issues and the power went out. And then she's like all seductively touching the water that turns into ice cream. It was very awkward. She confuses me because is she supposed to be Elsa's real mom? Oh, can you hear me?
Sorry, I was interrupting you. No, I was just saying I was completely against any sort of health code violation ever.
Yeah.
Nice.
But go ahead.
It has no health code violation. They have no, you know, code of ethics. Come on. But it makes me confused. Like, so far in the magic, in the Enchanted Forest, everyone who has magic powers seems to be unique to themselves. So now we have someone who has the exact same powers as Elsa, which makes us think, especially due to her slightly older appearance, could she be Elsa's real mother? Is Elsa really adopted? Is she... a clone of Elsa. I mean, it's like, I don't know, now that Disney owns Marvel, anything can happen. And I'm just like, I don't know if I like this direction of this new character without a lot of backstory. Like, I kind of feel like they just threw it in there to be like, dun, 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 and not really provide us a reason as to why she's there. And they probably won't until episode 7.
Yeah, it does look, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but it does look like we get a couple decent looks at her next week. But I do like the clone idea.
I was just going to say, Elsa. Clones! Yes, let's clone!
Send in the clones.
Send in the clones.
But I do have to say, you bring up X-Men, like, and I'd imagine like just dealing in purely magical characters, it's really hard too, but I just for a project I'm working on, few weeks back, I wrote this big scene with like 20 different characters, and I had to make all of their powers different.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so hard that some of them you just had to do like variations on a theme. Like, these two people have telepathy. One has good telepathy. One has harmful telepathy. You know, so I'm kind of thinking that might be the direction they might go with Elsa versus the Ice Queen. Like, the Ice Queen is more destructive than Elsa is, maybe. Like,
it has that appearance.
Yeah, yeah. And
more intentionally destructive.
Yeah.
I actually have a question. Yeah. Do you think that this could be more of a nod to the original Ice Queen storyline that they were going to do, that is more based on Hans Christian Andersen's Snow Queen?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we've been kind of theorizing and batting back and forth over the summer. I think it's pretty likely at this point, and even in some of the promotional materials they released this week, mm-hmm. they referred to her as the Ice Queen.
Yeah, they finally admitted that she's the Ice Queen.
So, oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd assume it would be the original Hans Christian Andersen, but I don't know. Like, I don't – do you know much about the original story? I meant to look it up, actually, but I never did.
I have it in my room. I just haven't read it.
Do you know much about it?
Yeah, I mean, the basic premise is that the Ice Queen, it's really similar to what you see in Narnia. She swoops in, and it's been, oh God, it's been since I was a child that read it, so I might be confusing it with Narnia, but I believe she, you know, kidnaps a kid or somebody, and she turns all these people into ice, and I could be completely wrong, so I feel like I think I'm good quoting Narnia. You know what? If only we had this... Oh, it's a Snow Queen, by the way. It's not the Ice Queen. It's a Snow Queen. And it's, you know, the old Danish tale in which the internet is really slow. It's about the evil troll that distorts the appearance of everything it reflects. Oh, that is not the story I was remembering. I'm just thinking about Narnia. That's all I really want is a Narnia story in that. Sorry. I don't know anything about the Snow Queen.
Totally fine.
Well, if we go with trolls, we do have Grandpappy, who's kind of a rock troll.
Yeah, a little
so
trollish.
We're pulling it in. We're pulling it in.
Rock troll.
Rock troll. Sorry.
One thing that did occur to me, though, is do you think, because, you know, I guess if you're a villain in Storybrooke, you have to run a shop.
Yeah.
I guess it's the new rule, along with if you cast the curse, you're the mayor.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, you know, why did the Snow Queen hang out in this ice cream shop in Storybrooke for so long without revealing her true nature? And I'm thinking, I wonder if Elsa showing up, like, kind of activated ice powers across the board. Like, maybe, like, there are other ice characters in
the
town.
There's an entire ice kingdom?
That, like, were cut off from the ice magic source, whatever it might be.
Apparently.
And maybe when Elsa comes through the portal, maybe she brings access to the source with her, like... If you were thinking like DC Comics, like the Speed Force or something like that.
I was
maybe there's an
DC
ice
Comics.
Force. You weren't thinking DC Comics?
I was not thinking DC Comics. I know this is shocking to you.
Well, drat.
Drat.
Okay, Anne-Marie, you had a couple quick points here you wanted to finish up with?
So I kind of did this last week where my last point was a whole bunch of one-off notes that I had. Mm-hmm. Some we may have talked about, some we didn't. Deal with it. I'm going to talk about them again. Why does Regina send a message via a bird? We all know they have phones. They can walk down the street. They can send another small child. Why a bird?
She wanted to creep out her adopted son.
Apparently, it's like that. So Operation Nightshade? No.
Yeah, wasn't that the fast-acting poison?
Yes, that was the fast-acting poison. Emma, no. No Operation Nightshade. I don't know what you think is going to happen there.
Back away from the Nightshade concept.
Yes. I'd like to start a petition to get rid of the snake fake snow spots. The things around Elsa's head? Yeah, make them stop, please. Now, the coloring in the ice room is really weird. They sort of had like this weird, sickly, jaundicey yellow, and then their hair was kind of purple. Ew. So, I love sandwiches. And Charming the Flirt.
Yes, he was very flirty.
Charming the Flirt.
He was very flirty.
Tisk, tisk. But at that point, there was no Bandit Snow, so it was acceptable, but it was his friend's fiance, so not acceptable, so...
Acceptable, not acceptable.
Yes.
Acceptable.
The end.
Okay, well, here, to wrap up, and Meredith, if you don't know, we usually wrap up by voting on how we like the episode on an arbitrary scale. Arbitrary meaning I make something up on the fly as I'm talking right now. So I'll start with it, Meredith, since she's our guest. Out of 1,007 snowflake particles, how many snowflake particles would you give this episode?
I'm going to give it 492 snowflake particles.
That's not too many. That's far less than they had in the episode. Why?
That is far less than they had in the episode.
You have to justify it. Why?
Well, mainly because of the inconsistencies with Elsa's character. The you brought up the raven, the crow raven thing. That just drove me nuts. I don't remember if that was from this week or last week, but it made me think that we were getting Maleficent back, and I got really sad. But no, overall, I just felt that the story dragged on. There was a lot of excessive dialogue and excessive references to Frozen. And I felt it could have been a much better use of time if we had actually explored some more of the character motivations and their reactions versus using cheap references and Fabio Charming flirting with everyone.
Excellent. Okay, Anne-Marie. Oh,
thank you for putting that, because last week.
Yeah, I just put it in the chat, the arbitrary scale for everybody. But out of 1,007 snow particles, what give ye this episode?
546, and one that didn't render right.
Still pretty low.
Yeah.
Why?
Meh.
I like how you used the word render when you complained about my CGI reference last week in the arbitrary scale.
Yes, exactly.
Just general meh?
It was just general meh. Like, okay, I love Frozen. It was too Frozen. It was like, and I know that some of the people watching think that last week was more Frozen. Last week was set up Frozen. Mm-hmm. This week was we can't get past it.
Yeah.
So, like, we needed that setup episode, and it just didn't go where I wanted it to go.
Fair enough. And as for me,
Yersh.
Just because you guys are both such big haters, I'm going to give it, like, a 700 snow particles out of 1,007.
That's still not good.
I didn't like it that much, but I just felt it needed a little more love, because there's some potential here, and I really like seeing the origin of Zen Charming. And I really like the comparison I drew between Elsa, Anna, and George and Lenny from Of Mice and Men, but that's really more about me and not about the show, so I shouldn't really be talking about it here. Mm-hmm. Did anyone in the chat here?
None of them rated it.
I'm going to give it one more. Amy P. rated it 1,000 snow particles. She really liked
Amy
it.
Amy P., you loved it.
Hope rated it 900 because it felt like, once again, Bo Peep surprised me. That's something we never talked about.
We didn't
about.
Even mention Bo Peep and her craziness.
Bo Peep was pretty good. Let's see. Bobby Hawk gives it 707 snow particles. And a mixed reaction.
Mixed reaction
to Whiteout, episode 2 of season 4. Did you have something you wanted to...
Keep talking.
Oh, I was just going to say, Meredith, I know we did run a little long the discussion because it was so awesome.
Yes.
But I knew you had some stuff you wanted to get to. So if you want to, we can go ahead and let you go now. Where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at mplaco. If you can see in the lower third, it's mplacko. Yeah, that's pretty much all I'm on. Oh, and Instagram. I post a lot of pictures of food and cats because that's what Instagram is for.
I have
my costumes on a cosplay fan page, but Facebook is so broken. It doesn't really, you could go look up for Meredith Placco, but you could also find me at meredithplacco.com where I post all my awesome, best, amazing favorite photos. So you can see me dress up like all my silly creations.
Excellent. And yeah, we definitely want to thank you again, Meredith,
for
coming and joining us this week. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, you can go ahead and feel free to go ahead and hang up from the hangout whenever you'd like. And before we move on to the news.
Are you going to do the thing that
what
you
thing?
Skipped that what? Was listed under the t-shirts in the doc?
What thing? Oh, yes.
You completely forgot. There's a contest of sorts.
You know what? We'll mention that once we get to the news. But real quick, we just want to thank Audible for sponsoring this week's episode of Greetings
Audible.
From Storybrooke.
Gracias, señor.
If you're not familiar with Audible, it's a service where you go, you sign up for the monthly service, you get a credit a month to go get a free audiobook from Audible, and they have pretty much anything you could possibly imagine.
I'll read
it. Generally, we like to give you some recommendations for your free 30-day trial where you get to try out your free audiobook. But this week, one of our listeners wrote in and did everything for us. So I'm just going to sit back and drink my water.
Okay. She didn't record it, right? Okay. Other Anne-Marie says, hi, Bill and AMD. You are right. It is incredibly easy to sign up for the 30-day free trial on Audible. I finally got around to doing this. For my free book, I chose Chris Colfer's Land of Stories, Grim Warning, Book 3. And I think this is a great one for the Once community. It is set in fairy tale land after the happily ever after. Chris has done some great twists, and he narrates the book himself. He plays Kurt in Glee, and as an actor, I think he did great reading his own book. I also picked Dog Boy Demon's Dare. Great work, Bill, and I love the voices Nathan does on the characters. Out of three Dog Boy books on Audible, I give it a perfect score of 3. Thank you, Anne-Marie, for feeding his ego.
Yes, and that's the exact number of Dog Boy books on Audible. Here, I'll go ahead and show our video watchers both books. Here's The Land of Stories, A Grim Warning, The Land of Stories, Book 3.
Kind of excited to try that.
And here's the Bill Meeks page on Audible with 3 Dog Boy adventures for you to take advantage of. Now, you can go and get any of these books for free, or anyone you want, really. All you have to do to go get your free audiobook and help support the show is go to audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Again, that's audibletrial.com/storybrooke for your free audiobook. And we want to thank Audible again for sponsoring this week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke.
I would also like to thank Anne-Marie for doing some work for me.
Yes. And now, on to the news. News. Okay, first off, as Anne-Marie reminded me a moment ago, with our t-shirt thing, since we need to sell 30 to get the print run going, we were like, well, we need to throw out an incentive there.
Why would people want to run around in our t-shirts?
Why would they go and pay $18 for a t-shirt?
Which is not that bad for a t-shirt.
Yeah,
gotta say.
Pretty reasonable. Pretty reasonable. It. So we thought we'll throw in a value add. What we're going to do is if we clear out this out and we get these 30 t-shirts out there and get Sebastian a little for, you know, making the logo for us and everything, what we'll do is we'll do a drinking game commentary for Tallahassee, our most hated episode ever.
So it ought to be real good.
Yeah. And we'll also let you guys vote on the second episode we do the commentary for. And we'll we'll do this one night, like a couple days after we finish the campaign, which is – I think like the 26th of August is the last day you can order a shirt. So hopefully we can get these shirts moved. We've ordered a few already.
We may be most of this.
Yeah, so far.
So thank you, person who has ordered one.
But yeah, we're just really excited to get some t-shirts with the logo on it because we really like the logo. Okay, so first off, the ratings were pretty good. It was the top non-sports programming in the demo for the night, and it slipped 15% from its premiere. But that's again
15. I mean, yeah,
between a premiere episode and episode 2, you expect the biggest drop off. Then if it's
not bad though, like their ratings compared to last year, that's still pretty high.
Oh yeah.
And so they retained a lot of those Frozen fans.
Definitely. And as long as we don't see that every week, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, as long as we don't tip 50% again.
And the exact figures were 8.6 million viewers in the 3.1 share. Okay, and next up, let's see here. We have the Rocky Road promo. Unfortunately, we can't play this over the stream because YouTube will pull us down, but we'll go ahead and play it now and talk over it and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rumple playing with snow magic, it looks like.
Oh, I thought it got taken down. Whoa.
And then the ice cream lady.
The ice cream queen.
Hopper.
Turning
Hopper
people
there.
Into popsicles.
Marion's a popsicle.
Yep.
And then
why did she freeze her whole shop?
I don't know.
Why
Maybe
does she have an ugly
keep the
dress?
Ice cream fresh. And then some a
hey,
couple
does she
good
have a cape?
Shots. Yeah, she does have a cape.
Interesting. So the cape is an ice thing.
The snow queen
or
has a cape.
Or snow thing.
It looks good, though.
It looks, yeah.
You can check out the full trailer at at the link at Greetings.
That's got to be annoying to listen to us do that without having the audio behind it.
I imagine it's actually pretty entertaining. I would imagine. That would be my guess. And, of course, we mentioned the deleted scene from White Out that mm-hmm. you should definitely check out. That'll be in the show notes, too.
Absolutely.
And then we have the, right here, the first officially released pics of the Snow Queen.
With the green screen.
Yep. I love the green screen pics.
God, I love a green screen pic.
Yeah, but here...
Oh, did she put her hair up? Not Snow Queen Elsa.
Yeah, Elsa looks like
it
her hair
like
up.
Looks like her hair got done.
I wonder if they CG the braid. Probably not.
That'd I don't know. Expensive. They might, because they put like rhinestones and stuff on it.
Yeah, but here's a very clear picture of her. And I know a lot of people got really excited when she showed up because they mm-hmm. knew her from Lost, I believe.
Yep.
But again, since we haven't watched Lost.
That's right. We still haven't watched it, even though you guys all keep yelling at us to watch it. We haven't.
Yeah, we'll watch it one day.
If you could give me an extra 24 hours in a day, I will watch it.
And let's see here. The last thing, as teased... We have the first look at Hook's new duds, which I thought kind of looked like cowboyish.
I think it looks like a biker.
Old West kind of thing. Yeah, I guess a biker bit too. But hey, I think it looks good. I think that's good modern clothes for Hook. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't.
Well, a house divided shall not stand is what they say. I don't know what I mean by that.
I don't know what you mean by that either.
Okay, let's see here. We'll go ahead and get into some quick listener feedback.
Yes.
After you finish watching the episode, we always love it if you run to your computer on ice and email us at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com to let us know what you think. You can also tweet us at @GFStorybrooke. The Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And a few people did just that. Are you making faces at the camera?
No, I like to bop when you say the voicemail number.
Oh, that's fine. Okay.
Because it's 424-272-2352.
But we got a few here. And first up is Michael. Take it away, Michael.
Michael!
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie. This is Michael. There is a lot of things I could say about this episode of Once, but I'm only going to say one of them. And that is, I guess... that Prince Charming will be looking for Anna by Hook or by Crook now. Sorry, I really did have to go there. Can't wait to hear the podcast and see what you all think about the episode. All right, take care. Bye.
I just have to say that not only did, and that's Michael Lucero, if you guys are familiar, he writes in pretty much every week, mm-hmm. but not only did he call in with that voicemail, he tweeted us that
oh,
too.
Oh, did he?
That exact line. He needed that
really
line
excited
out in the
about
world,
that.
And I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that kind of passion.
Yes.
Okay, let's see here. Next up is Patty, who I believe will be our guest in November. Also, we should mention other Anne Marie will be our guest next week.
Yes. Sign it. Hope. Yes. The knave can wear anything better.
Okay, Patty, take it away.
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie. I just finished watching the second episode for Once Upon a Time. And I have to say, that was pretty good. I normally don't like charming episodes or snow episodes, and I always find something to critique, but this one is actually pretty good. I like how they dived into his past, especially with his father finding out that he was an alcoholic, which makes him a bit more sympathetic, where you can actually feel his pain, seeing that he has been through stuff that he wasn't just in the farm having a happy family, that there was some drama there, which normally you have not seen that with Charming as of yet, at least in his past before meeting Snow. Well, technically with the Rumple thing is drama, but in a different aspect of it. Well, see you later. Bye.
Thank you very much, Patty.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if since they've kind of done all of the plot relevant stuff, like for the curse and everything like that, mm-hmm. with flashbacks, if we're just going to keep going deeper and deeper into the past on the flashbacks.
I mean, they kind of have to, don't they?
Yeah, I guess. But how far back can you go, really? Thousands of years to the old dark
you
one.
Can go. I mean, we have a whole other... I mean, there's other generations mm-hmm. that are... around.
I would actually kind of like to see how the old dark one became the dark one.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Okay, and let's see here. Our last voicemail is from Hope, then we'll get into a couple letters. Take it away,
I like
Hope.
That two-thirds of our people are in the chat room with us.
I know, it's great.
It's fun.
First and foremost, I hated to cut the deleted scene with Regina and Snow, They played it this morning on Good Morning America, and it was a really good transition of power from Regina to Snow. I didn't know what to expect with Warlord Bo Peep, but I went in with low expectations, and I thought she was okay. Like, I liked her. I liked the twist that they gave her. I wish...
One thing about Warlord Bo Peep, he tied her up with a ribbon. Like, a really, like, slight-looking ribbon.
Yeah.
Like, if she was this big warlord, that shouldn't have stopped her. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Go on, Hope.
Let it go.
She would drop the sheep puns, but in the end, it will never be as bad as David's wig, so that's a thing. I have a question. Can they cross the town line and not lose their memories? Like, has that been established yet in this curse?
I'll say, and I saw a couple people arguing online about this. This is, like, a new curse, and the whole memory erasure thing was a specific thing Regina wanted within her curse.
Right.
Like, as far as I knew, and I think we saw Grumpy and Sleepy driving back in from out of town last week.
Was that
week.
From out of town?
Yeah, because it was right around, because Elsa was by the Welcome to Storybrooke
sign. That wasn't
the
Welcome to Storybrooke sign. That was a different Storybrooke sign. It was saying that this area has been preserved by the Storybrooke Beautification Society or something. So it was not the welcome sign.
Okay, well, maybe not hard evidence, but my assumption was that people...
They went to a different bar is what you're saying.
Or in this curse, people can leave town as they want to, but just because the witch was involved last season after they came back, they didn't have a chance to. But, you know, it's a whole new curse.
And now there's ice blocking everything.
By far biggest gripe of this episode, it actually infuriated me, was the fact that Ruth gave Anna Rumpelstiltskin's name to find. Don't they all know that he's the Dark One? Like, he's been the Dark One for a few hundred years now. And if you put that aside, Rumpelstiltskin is the man that took James away from her. He took her son. And but last but not least, I love David's monologue about his dad. It made sense that his dad was a drunk, especially in an earlier episode, since Ruth said that the father regretted giving James away every day up until he died. So it made sense.
Okay, thank you very much, Hope. Yeah, that was – I cut that kind of short, I
You're
guess.
Like, yeah.
No, but what was I going to say?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I forgot my point. But thank you very much, Hope,
thank
for
you.
Writing in. Or calling in, rather. Oh, you know, also,
she's also writing.
Is she?
She's actively writing.
Excellent.
She's always writing.
And
I like it.
And we did this last year, and we'd like to do this again. If you go to iTunes and search for Greetings from Storybrooke and leave a review, any review, you can leave a 1-star review, a 5-star review, as long as it's honest, we'll read it on the show. And Rachel in Indiana did just that. Subject is my good friends, Bill and Anne Marie. And Rachel says, I love listening to Bill and Anne Marie talk about Once Upon a Time. They're so hilarious. It's like listening to your good friends talk about Once. Go team Bill
and Anne Marie. That's
very,
right.
Very fair there.
Yes.
In her teamitude.
Yes, I like it.
Okay, and next we'll do, and we like to do these, we always put up a blog post at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com of the letters that didn't make the cut, but we always like to give just a little taste of what you might find if you go there to read it, and as well as some comments from Twitter, Facebook, stuff like that. I'll start off, and then we'll just go
okay,
back
I
and forth.
Okay, I love this one. This might be my favorite.
Okay, Amy said, is it weird that while I was watching Once Upon a Time tonight, I had the voices of Greetings from Storybrooke making comments in my head? No, it's perfect. Now on to stage two.
Absolutely. Eric said that he loved the Henry and Regina scene, and hope you did too.
Virginia said she thought our pirate shipping, as in Emma and Hook, was subpar last episode. We're sorry. We tried to improve this week.
Nah, but we really didn't even talk about it again.
A little bit.
A little bit. Elizabeth wants someone on the show to recognize that Henry is a teenager now and not a little boy anymore.
Meredith gave you your wish.
Exactly. She also loved Henry demanding to see Regina. That was good.
Nicole wants to know how David knows Kristoff, and if we'll get a Kristoff backstory. Anne Marie had a similar.
We have to. They can't just let that go. Okay. Other Anne Marie wrote up some background on Bo Peep. It's great.
And finally, Ashley called Charming's locks lovely and flowing. She also loved his buddy cop team up with Anna. She also hummed Ice Ice Baby in the middle of her email, which was a little weird, Ashley.
It's okay, though. We like it. You want me to read this? Okay, yeah. And this is from Charity from Facebook. Review of episode 2, season 4 with spoilers. Loved it as long as I left my nitpicking at the door. I could have missed some key answers as I got distracted by outside forces and don't have DVR rewind. David really learned the sword in one day. Anna knows swords. Missed that bit right there. Bo Peep only had two henchmen, not an army. Two dwarfs and Granny just announced to Mary Margaret that she's the mayor now. Now, can we learn exactly how David knows Kristoff? At least they aren't related. Storybook plot moved right along. Still enjoyed it, nitpicking aside.
Thank you, Charity.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Anna knowing how to sword fight really well seemed really, just a little off.
Yeah, it seemed awkward.
Just a bit. Okay, and we'll wrap up here with a letter from Chris Tipton, who we haven't actually heard from in a bit. So, hi, Chris.
Howdy.
He says, how's it going, y'all?
Y'all.
I thought this was a good episode, although not near as good as the premiere. My top five moments in order. Hey, you want to give me a drum roll? Number five. Hook trying to break through the ice to get to Emma. I thought this was adorably futile, and it just made me laugh, or futile, depending on where you grew up. number four, Anna taught David how to fight. I think this brings up a plot hole, because shouldn't he have known how to fight when King George made the deal for him? Also, where is King George? I think this is before that. This is
before that, but where is King George?
Yeah, sorely missed.
Did somebody lock him in the hospital? That's where everybody goes to wait.
We can only hope. Number three is Emma and Elsa bonding. I seriously love this. Amazing job by J-Mo and Georgina. Yeah. In those scenes. And number two is Fabio David, of course. I loved Amanda's tweet about, I feel like David is about to sell me. I can't believe it's not butter. For the younger members of our audience, Fabio was the spokesman for I Can't Believe It's Not Butter back in the day. And number one is the appearance of Elizabeth Mitchell. I've been waiting feverishly since Revolution got canceled, and it didn't disappoint me in the least. I can't wait to see what they do with her as, hashtag spoiler alert, the Snow Queen. I would give this episode 4 out of 5 conveniently placed fuel lines.
Thank you, Chris.
Two things we should mention here wrapping up. One, in that deleted scene, Regina also gives Snow the information she needs to get the power station running, which I thought was interesting. Also, flashlights was the number one arbitrary scale in all of the letters this week.
Was it really?
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out. Fantastic. And next week, as I said, you know, run on ice.
Definitely
run to let us know what you think of the episode. Email us greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. The Twitter's @GFStorybrooke. The Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. In Anne-Marie's dancing, 424-274-2352. You should have been.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking to Hope on the computer.
Well, you can talk to her off the computer.
She said, we from Georgia, y'all. And I said, no. No Hope.
No, not quite.
No.
Okay, Anne-Marie, where can people find you online?
Oh, you can find me on the Twitters @AMDSimone or @CCHCblog or CrunchyCrafty.com.
Excellent. And as for me, you can follow me on Twitter @BillMeeks. You can follow me on Google Plus and get notified when we go live with these things at google.com/plusBillMeeks. And actually, I started out a new podcast this week. Yes. It's a short-form conversation show. Anne-Marie will be on it tomorrow.
Oh, I will?
Yeah.
Neat.
And it's at heyyouwhatsup.com, or you can probably just search my name, Bill Meeks, in iTunes and find it there. All right. Well, we finally got Gus Gus on.
We got Gus Gus.
I know. I think we don't need to do any more of these.
We're done.
It's done.
Done.
So not until next time. greetings
from Storybrooke. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.